Hello and welcome, Freeform Renegades. You are tuned into the Freeform Network. Thank you for joining us for another fun episode of Freeform Radio. I am your host, Noel, and my co-host today is...
It's Daniel over here.
And unfortunately, we don't have Andy with us today. It seems he caught the bug, you know, the bug that's going around right now, and actually just got over it myself.
Yeah, I know, Andy. So insert the crickets cue here. Because, you know, we're calling out for you and you're not there.
But we hope you're feeling better, Andy. We'll see you soon, I'm sure. And it's just going to be us two for today. But, hey, it's another day here in Chicago, beautiful Chicago. Wherever your listeners are, we hope you're sitting cool and feeling good. Unfortunately, Chicago weather right now has been treating us so good. So we're hanging in there. But it's been kind of a rough couple weeks. Recently, I actually was just watching the UFC, and it's been kind of a lackluster year for me, man. A lot of the fighters that I've liked, they just didn't perform the way I wanted to see them perform. They didn't do quite as good as I expected. And this pay-per-view I saw this last weekend, UFC 244, the main event was hyped up. You know, there was going to be a belt on the line. There was going to be two fighters, and they were fighting for the baddest motherfucker belt, is the BMF belt. It's like a very just WWE-esque, you know, kind of belt. And they actually had The Rock, Dwayne Johnson, presenting it to the winner. It's just how freaking hyped up and, like, dramatic it was going to be.
Yeah, I did notice that on some the news sites that I visit. And I thought it stood for, like, bantamweight or one of those, like, thin kids, you know. I forgot what's lighter than lightweight. And that's originally what I thought that stood for. But to be honest, I didn't really look into it. I thought it was kind of cool that The Rock was there. But now it kind of just sounds like a gimmick and kind of hokey that's what the belt stands for.
Yeah, that's what the belt stands for. It originally started with Nate Diaz kind of just trash talking about certain fighters and stuff like that. After he won one of his fights, he called out George Masvidal, which has been on a winning streak this whole year. And they're kind of both have this attitude, like this OG gangster style. And so Nate Diaz is West Coast, George Masvidal is East Coast. So it was kind of hyped up to be a clash of the two, you know, two sides of the United States. Anyway,
yeah, I thought that I forget his name now, but the guy that fought Diaz,
Conor McGregor.
No, who was the guy that just fought the guy that won the belt?
Oh, George Masvidal. Yeah,
George. Yeah. So George, I had seen some highlight reel with him where he came in with like a flying knee. And, oh, like, knocked this kid out, and I was just like, holy shit. I'm like, man, this guy, like, this guy's nuts.
That was one of the hardest KOs I ever had to see, dude. Because I actually wanted the other guy to win, the guy that got KO'd.
Uh-huh.
I like George Masvidal, don't get me wrong. And it was good that he won, and I'm happy for him and everything. It was just that the other guy he fought, the guy that lost, unfortunately, he was an upcoming guy, and he had gotten a lot of hype coming into the UFC, and they traded one of their top-of-the-line champions to get him. His name is Ben Askren, and he trains out in Wisconsin, Milwaukee. He's actually not too far from here. And so he's been getting a lot of popularity and everything, so I was really hyped to see him fight. And then, boom, seconds later, knocked the fuck out, dude. Gone.
Yeah, it was nuts. I like I mentioned, I saw it on the highlight reel, and I didn't know what was going to happen. They didn't preemptively tell me what's going to happen on this highlight thing. And when I saw him come flying, like, you know, Karate Kid, you know, just boom, just hit that knee, and that kid went down, I was just like, holy shit. I'm like, I wonder if this guy opens up all his fights like that. And it made me really curious to watch the fight. Now, I didn't tune in for the Diaz fight because I don't pay for pay-per-views or anything like that. But it did make me kind of interested in it just because Diaz is usually puts on a pretty good fight.
Definitely. Every time he fights, it's always interesting to watch. And that's what we were hoping to see in this one, which we did. I'm not even going to lie. It was one of the most exciting three rounds I've seen. Unfortunately, it ended at the third round because Nate Diaz got cut up above his eye. And it was a, I gotta admit, man, it was really bad cut. And so because it was so bad, the doctors, they stopped the fight. Now, Nate Diaz, credit to him, he was ready to go. He didn't give a shit. He's like, I'll lose this eye right here. I don't give a fuck. But he ended up getting, you know, stopped. And they didn't want him to cause permanent damage to his eye. Because the skin is like, it's almost peeling off, dude. Like, it's a really bad cut above his eyebrow. And so...
Well, I think at that point, if they're willing, they're going to call the fight and stop it because of a cut. I think your only position is that you're going to be some badass and be like, no, let me fight. But really, maybe in the back of your head, you're thinking like, shit, stop this thing, man. Like, I'm bleeding to shit here, man.
No, for real, man. It could be what was going through his mind, but he had no choice but to kind of tough it up. And you know, I'm sure he had it in him to still go.
Right.
He would probably, you know, just in his back of his mind, like, protect my eye, make sure it doesn't get hit anymore. And you know, he probably could have gone the next couple of rounds, which, you know, unfortunately, the kind of fighter he is, he's an endurance fighter where he starts slow, but he picks up energy later. It's like a turbo. You know, it takes a little bit of energy, momentum to get that turbo kicking in, and then boom, you're off to the races.
Right, and with it being a five round,
yeah,
his last two rounds would probably have been his.
Exactly.
Right.
Yeah, it was unfortunate, man, because it was really great and exciting up until then. If you ever get a chance to just like maybe look at the highlight reel of that one, I think you'll see, man. It was a good fight. Jorge Masvidal, though, honestly, up to that point, he was winning the fight. If it was a three round fight, George would have definitely won that fight. But I was very curious to see if Nate didn't get cut up the way he did and this could have gone two more rounds. I would have been interested to see that because George took his share of hits too.
Now, the Diaz is their brothers. Is this the one that fought most recently against Conor or is this the other brother?
Yeah, this is the same guy that fought Conor and he won one and lost one.
Okay.
So this is, yeah, that's that guy. He ended up pretty much trying to set up a trilogy with Conor McGregor. Unfortunately, this Jorge Masvidal thing, I don't know if that's going to, you know, propel him to get that now. Even Jorge and Conor are having their little exchange now. So we'll see what's going to happen. I was kind of upset about it because, I mean, Nate Diaz, he's a good guy. He's taking his lumps, you know, and he doesn't really get the appreciation he deserves. And the same goes for Masvidal, you know. He actually was on one of the tapes that Kimbo Slice was on. He knew Kimbo, and they did backyard brawls
back in
Florida. So, I mean, he's been fighting since, you know, since I was probably a kid, probably growing up. So it was interesting to see him fight both, you know, gangsters, but...
Right, he looks like a good promo guy because man, he was talking up a big game, and then I saw this thing afterwards after he got the belt. He was doing an interview or something, and they were asking him about Conor, and he was talking shit. He was like, you know, that old man, if he, you know, dares to step in here, you know, I'll put him out really quick, you know, just to send him back home. Or I forgot what he was saying, but man, he was mad trash talking. It, you know, kind of like what you mentioned at the start with The Rock and, you know, the BMF belt, it kind of sounded like a wrestling promo, like, you know, the kind of stuff wrestlers would say to each other.
Yeah, it's becoming more like that, actually. Ever since Conor came onto the scene, he's kind of changed things up so where people are investing more time in their selling of the fight, you know, and their gimmicks and their trash talking, you know, the whole little charade where you talk back and forth trying to hype it up so that people tune in. And I think that's what Masvidal, he caught on, you know, plus he doesn't have to try. Like it's kind of in his nature to already talk shit and kind of have this mafioso attitude. So it worked to his advantage that's becoming more acceptable or I guess expected of the fighters.
Right. What nationality is he?
He's Cuban.
Oh, he's Cuban?
He's American. Sorry, nationality is American.
Right, but right.
Ethnicity right. is Cuban.
I'm sorry. Yeah, that's what I meant. So he's Cuban. Oh, okay. Yeah, he looked like European, but to be honest, I wasn't curious enough to check. But no, cool. So he's a Latino.
Yeah,
he definitely has the like, you know, like the talk, the gab, or whatever the saying is, and he's gonna definitely sell future pay-per-views, I think.
Oh yeah, without a doubt. He's knocked out some people like pretty viciously, dude. Pretty fucking viciously. And he talks his shit, backs it up. Yeah, I mean, what more do you need to sell a pay-per-view? But yeah, no, so you were talking about how you don't want to buy the UFC pay-per-views. There is a way where you could see it without nice. Having to buy it. Nice. So I had to hook you up with that. You know, I got to find a way to save money here and there. And it kind of leads me to my next point, which finally, man, I am debt free. And
nice.
I am very, very happy about it because for the longest time, I was just signing over my checks, you know, to pay all these people with their hands out. So thankfully, you know, I'm free of all that now. Any money that I get now is all for me and what I want to do with it. So I have plans, many, many plans coming up. And one of these things that I'm looking forward to now that we're going to be, now that we are in the month of November, Black Friday is coming up, dude. I don't know if you've been eyeing any products recently.
Yeah, I've been kind of, you know, kind of the peripheral on my eye, you know, kind of looking at Black Friday and kind of looking at the ads that have been released. Actually, just before we jumped on, I got an email from BF Ads, I think it's the website that I usually surf. I got an email saying that the Target ad's now live. So I'm kind of curious to see what Target has on there. But yeah, to your question, I am kind of curious, but at the same time, I'm not looking to spend a whole great deal. The only thing that I'd probably want to get if there is a somewhat decent price is maybe another Ring camera or two just to put in the house. Right now, I think I mentioned in the podcast, I got the doorbell one. So I'm interested in maybe putting one in the house if I could.
Okay. This is a camera system.
Yeah. The one that Amazon bought, maybe like 3-5 years ago, something like that. They bought, Ring, the security camera company. And so they're like their major distributor now for it. And so the doorbells ring. So when you walk up, it videotapes whoever walks into the motion pathway. And then anybody that rings the doorbell, it also records them. And it sends it to my phone so I could look at it live wherever I am. So if I'm away from the house, I could see who's at the front door. So, yeah, just maybe get another camera. You know, kind of mount it maybe closer to the back and be able to record, you know, all the entrances to the house.
That's actually a good idea, man. Has it come in handy yet? Like, have you seen somebody while you weren't at home and then you see somebody ring the doorbell, so you call them like, hey, sorry, I'm not home or something?
Yeah, actually, I mean, it was nothing bad or anything like that. But the grandma came over and was looking for Alana, and we were like at, you know, Walmart or something, and it sends you alerts when it detects motion. Well, it depends what settings you put it on. I mean, you could put whatever settings you want, but we have it to give us a text message when there's motion or somebody rings the doorbell. So the grandma was in front of the house ringing the doorbell, and she was looking for Alana or me, or I don't know who she came to look for. But as soon as we got the alert, I told Alana, I'm like, hey, your grandma's ringing our door. And so it allows you to two-way talk with the person. So you can turn on the talking feature and talk to the person. So Alana turns it on, and he's just like, yeah, well, you know, we're not here right now. We're actually at Walmart. When I get home, I'll give you a call. So it was pretty neat, you know. The other big feature is that we do have Amazon Prime. And when we get packages, it records the delivery guy dropping off the package. And it usually, you know, since we get an alert that the front door motion or whatever, we go get our packages in a more timely manner now, instead of, you know, just constantly looking out the door, you know, hey, is the package here yet? Is the package here yet? You know, we can kind of chill back, and as soon as we get a motion alert, we look at the video, because it also records it. And when we look at the video, and if it's the Amazon guy dropping off a package, we know, all right, it's time to go out in the front and get it.
Very cool, man. You get to see if he throws it from his car and breaks whatever you ordered.
Yeah, that too. Sometimes you see these videos on YouTube where people just throw packages onto the front stoop. So, yeah, I finally get to record some of those if I get any.
Very cool, man. I might have to pick up a few myself.
Right. But what is it that you're looking for or interested for Black Friday?
So I've had the same TV for a few years now, and it's back before the 4Ks even came out, I think. This is like one of the, you know, it's still pretty good, but it's an LED 1080p. It's okay. Just a 40-inch, you know, for PC use and stuff. So I was thinking of getting maybe like a 55 to 65-inch 4K TV. And nothing crazy, but, you know, kind of keep it budgeted, but still, you know, somewhat decent brand. So I'm looking forward to see what deals come up for that. There's usually something. But my big thing is I don't want to go to the store, man.
Oh, okay.
I'm lazy like that. I've already done it once. You know, I did the whole thing where you have Thanksgiving dinner and then you go wait outside the store for like 12 hours. And no, never again, dude. I'm not doing that.
You know, to be honest, nowadays, you really don't even need to do that anymore. These last few years, and I think I've mentioned them before, I've done most of my Black Friday shopping online. Even with the Black Friday deals, most of them are available online, and there's only probably like a handful that are in store only, and usually the ad specifies that. But yeah, I'm kind of in the same boat. Depending on what we need to pick up, unless it's one of those, you know, in store only, you have to be in person kind of thing, and it's something that I absolutely need or really want, then I'll check out there. Otherwise, these last few years, I've just been doing them online.
Yeah, no, I'm hoping that, well, you know, the good deals will be online. If not, Cyber Monday is always around the corner.
Right,
so.
Yeah.
One or the other, I'm going to get something.
Right. Now, for this TV, man, since you do some PC gaming, right, are you interested in getting stuff with, like, huge refresh rates so that the latency is minimum and stuff like that?
You know, I was discussing that with Ismael, my cousin, who's like also my tech guy.
Right.
And he kind of told me, he's like, you know what, Noel, you do play games, but you're not into it to compete. You're not into it to like be the best. You just want to have fun. So you don't really need to spend $1,000 on these crazy monitors that are going to refresh it in like, you know, a fraction of a nanosecond. You don't need it. So I'm like, all right, you know, fair enough. Because even himself, who's into games a lot more than I am, he doesn't have stuff like that. He's like, you know what? I'm not going to do this whole 4K thing. I'm just going to do 1080p and get my stuff, you know, above 60 frames, 100 plus frames if I could. So, you know, he's not about going to like an insane level, spending an insane amount of money. And I kind of agree. I don't think I'm going to go that route. I just want something more for media, you know, more for movies, TV, stuff like that. The games was important, but not as important. So,
right, yeah. I mean, my TV upstairs is a 1080p, the one that we have in the bedroom, and the one downstairs, that one is a 4K. And to be honest, the difference in quality, it's not that noticeable. So I kind of agree with you. I got the 4K. Just last year, I think I got that TV. So it they've been dropping a lot in price. So it wasn't like I paid $1,000 for it. But at the same time, I don't think I, now that I've used it and have had it, I don't think I put that much value into that 4K aspect of it.
Okay. All right. Well, that's good to know. I mean, I was looking, you know, in the area of like 500, between there and like 700 max, maybe. But like, that's pushing it. So, you know, hopefully I find something around there where I can get the best bang for my buck. So,
Yeah, no, it's definitely a time to get electronics. That's probably one of the big Black Friday deals that's out there, mainly. So it's definitely something that's going to give you tons of options. And just from glancing at the Target ad just a second ago, it looks like they got tons of TVs that are on sale. So I think you're going to have the pick of the litter, depending on what you're looking for. You know, I would not go too cheap on the refreshment rate just because I used to have the lowest refresh rate. I forget what it is now. It's like 30, I think. And when I jumped from 30 to 60, those were one of the jumps that I was just like, damn, this is a difference, more than the noticeable from 1080p to 4K. That refresh rate jump, that was something where I was just like, wow, this is, I think it was to 120. I think it was from 60 to 120.
Yeah.
And when I did that jump, I was just like, wow, this is an upgrade in my TV.
Oh, for sure. I've actually seen that where it has like a kind of a built-in system. I actually do this outside of what a TV does. I use this program that adjusts the frame rate of whatever video I put into it. So I'll do it for like anime. I'll do it for like older TV shows that kind of need a little bit of an upgrade or a cleaning and a little bit more smoother frame rate. And so sometimes I'll get it up to that 60 or 120, and it's just so incredibly smooth. It looks like you're there. Like, it feels like you're there. You know what I mean?
Right, right. I know a lot of live TV, with the HD ones at least, they're broadcasting 120, and it is a big difference when you flip from a channel that's only going 60 or probably lower. I don't know what the standard is. And then when you see a 120, and it was crazy. Like, I think when I had that, I was really into King is a Queen. And when you would see a live episode broadcast at 120, it was just like, holy shit. I'm like, this looks like buttery smooth, and it's like, it's moving really. It was like freaky, man. It like really trips out your eyes.
Oh, yeah. No, I completely agree. And to answer your question, so TV is normally shot in about 24 to 30 frames per second.
Okay.
Unless you're watching like sports, which that'll be like 60 frames a second. And most movies are 24, actually. So when you see it in 60 or 120, you're watching in a complete different like view than the director intended. But I prefer it, especially for horror movies. I'll use the program that I was just telling you about to convert it to 60 frames a second, so that when it goes from 24 to 60 and you're watching something like Texas Chainsaw Massacre, you see that guy freaking running pretty quick, and you see it in a way that's more realistic than the original.
Right, right. By any chance, what's the name of the program for the guys out there?
Oh, right. The program I use is called... Once it loads. It is called Hybrid version 05.05.1. It's the 2019 version, and it is free. So it's called Hybrid, and you can just Google it. You should be able to get it online for free. I would recommend going to YouTube and looking up how to convert something, because it's got a lot of controls, got a lot of options. And if you don't watch some kind of tutorial, you're just going to be lost. Okay. As soon as I watched the first tutorial and I did it, boom, like riding a bike. You could do it 1,000 times, no problem.
Nice, nice. Yeah, I have to use a recoding software too for some videos that I download for my PlayStation. The PlayStation has a hard time playing MKV files, certain audio packs. So I'll get the video image, but then it'll say not supported audio. So half the time I have to run the files through this recoder so that I can change the audio to an MP4 or an MP3 so that the PlayStation will recognize it.
Okay. All right. So, well, this one does allow you to change the video coding and encoding and the audio as well. So you can do all different kinds. And you could even select the bit rate. You can select the frame rate. You can do chapter selections. You can do some crazy stuff with it if you really want to get carried away.
All right.
But I love it for anime because anime sometimes it's kind of choppy and you want to see it at a higher frame rate. And this allows me to convert Japanese anime into a higher frame rate while extracting the subtitles so that I can still, you know, import it into the converted file. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. I'm becoming more and more a subtitle, but just for American language because, you know, I'm getting old and hard of hearing here. So I sometimes I need subtitles just to follow along with the hell's going on. Oh, yeah. And I've gotten so used to it that when something doesn't have subtitles, it kind of throws me off a little.
Yeah, it's nice to have that little security blanket, you know, because sometimes people will whisper like it's intentional.
Right, right.
And you just want to hear, what the hell did he say? And it's like, boom, all right, you understood. But sometimes it could be a double-edged sword. You ever seen the movie The Thing?
Yeah, the remake or the original?
Well, the Kurt Russell version, which okay. I think was a remake.
Well, yeah, I guess there's two remakes. There's the Kurt Russell is a remake of like a very old movie, but they just recently remade it like 5-10 years ago.
Yeah, yeah, you're right. They didn't do a more remastered, newer,
right. Adapted.
But yeah, so the Kurt Russell version, within the first few minutes, I don't know if you how well you remember this, but there's a scene where they get off the helicopter and it's like a Swedish German guy, and he starts yelling and he yells in his language, and there's a dog that starts barking at him, right? And he's yelling towards the dog, and what he's saying in his language is that he's like, "Don't trust the dog. The dog is not a dog. It's a thing." He's telling him what it is. He's telling him that it's infected. And okay. that it's like a monster, right? So he pretty much ruins the plot within the first few minutes because most of the people watching in, you know, America or in England or whatever, they don't understand Swedish or, you know, German. They're not going to know, you know, the secrets of the plot. But if you had subtitles that, you know, translated it, you know, within the first 5 minutes, you already know, oh, damn, that's
a thing. Oh, shit. I didn't know that. But, yeah, now that you mention it, yeah, I kind of remember they landed and then it was like the few original survivors. And it kind of sucks that they kind of let the whole plot point go as far as that the dog's the carrier. Spoiler alert for all you people who didn't see The Thing.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. I think everybody out there seen it already by now.
Yeah. But yeah, so... speaking of The Thing, man, it felt like I had The Thing in me this past weekend, dude. I felt so sick. I had some kind of weird bug that's been going around. Maybe the same bug that Andy's got right now.
Yeah, man, maybe you gave it to him. Shit.
Right? Telepathically, like from freaking miles away.
Right.
Now, I think for me what it is that a lot of coworkers have been sick recently, dude, and it's just stuff that's going around and people have kids and their kids are doing all these, you know, activities and then they come back and get the parents sick and then the parents come to work and they get me sick now. So it's just a never ending cycle. But thankfully within 3 days, you know, I had it gone and I was feeling better. I'm feeling like 100% now. So thankfully it wasn't too bad.
Oh, nice. Was it like a cough or fever or what were you feeling?
So thankfully, no fever that's too crazy. It did have a fever slightly on Sunday, and I knocked out so hard. But, you know, it wasn't like flu-like symptoms where I'm coughing and sneezing so crazy. I just had congestion, and I felt just very lethargic and, like, foggy. Like, it was mainly, like, a lot of head congestion for me. And I think the reason was because every day I drink, you know, like a superfood drink, and I think with these superfood drinks that I do daily, I think it kind of just it boosted my nutrient level to the point where I could, you know, have my immunity fight this off quicker.
Oh, nice. Yeah, I know stuff is going around. A junior on Sunday, yeah, it was Sunday, he woke up and he felt kind of shitty and he didn't feel too well. He had gone to a Halloween party on Saturday, so when he came home he looked okay, but come waking up Sunday, he kind of felt crappy. So, yeah, we thought he was coming down with something, but by Monday, he was back to normal. It looked like whatever it was. It was a 24-hour thing, and he was back to normal on Monday. But, yeah, no, speaking of Andy, man, he sounds kind of shitty. And you know, even though he's kind of sick, he's over by my cubicle, you know, over there coughing up a lung, you know, just grabbing and touching everything. And I'm just like, dude, man, stop touching everything that on my desk, man. I'm like, shit, you're like, want to get me sick, man.
he wants to spread it around, man. Spread the joy.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, dude, it's unfortunate, man. I think it's the weather, you know. It's just been crazy around here, man. It's getting really cold. This Halloween, well, it was freaking snowing, dude. Like,
right. Yeah, no, I dealt with that. Speaking of the weather, the Halloween, man, it was so shitty out there that Junior got kind of bummed out, and we didn't go trick or treating. So it's one of the first Halloweens that I can remember that we didn't take him trick or treating. And this is like the prime age, man. He's 10 years old. So this is the age where, wanting to get candy should get you excited to want to, you know, kind of trek out there, even though it might be drizzling or it might be a little cold, just to go out there and try to get as much candy as you can. But nah, man, it bummed him out so much that he was just like, I don't even want to go trick or treating.
Yeah, it was unfortunate, dude. I replayed it in my mind all the previous years that I've, you know, when I was growing up. And I was like, I don't think I can ever remember it snowing. Like, this is a first for me in my 31 years of life, you know?
Yeah, I can't recall it snowing on Halloween. I know there's been some crummy ones where it's been raining pretty bad and it's kind of on the cold side. But no, this is the first time I remember it snowing. And the last time it was kind of crappy weather was about 2 years ago that I could recall. And it was raining and pretty cold out there, so we decided to go to the mall and just go from store to store and ask for candy. And you know, it was a pretty good turnout. There was enough kids there and enough stores that had anticipated it and got some candy. And so it was a pretty good you know, candy run, you know, going up and down the stores. But nah, I mentioned that again to Junior. I'm like, let's go to the mall, and you know, you get to wear your costume. And he was not going for it. He had bought a Fortnite character. I forget which one, but for his costume. And he was kind of bummed out that he didn't get to wear it. Fortunately, he did get to use it for the Halloween party that I mentioned that he went to on Saturday. But yeah, Halloween canceled, man, because of bad weather.
Well, the good news is 2020 Halloween is going to be on a Saturday. So, you know, that opens up a lot of possibilities for how to celebrate it. If it comes down to where it's, you know, bad weather again, you know, we could always do like a family party and have everybody, all the kids show up, and we'll just have a bunch of candy for them, you know?
Right. I actually, like, after this bad weather spell went through for Halloween, I did read a few articles that there was like some aldermen or some congress people maybe willing to pass a bill to change Halloween, you know, because right now it's on the 31st of October.
Yeah.
So they were thinking about changing it to just be the fourth Saturday of October. And then that would just be whatever Halloween is, whatever day that falls, that would be Halloween.
Kind of like they do for Thanksgiving.
Right. Yeah. Same thing for Thanksgiving. So something along them lines. But I don't know how much traction that would get to end up changing the holiday. I myself don't put too much importance into the actual day. Like, it's got to be the 31st. So I wouldn't mind it as much, just being a parent, making it a little easier to, like you said, be able to throw together a party if it looks like the weather's going to be crappy, and just be like, well, let's all come get together at this house and we'll just, you know, chill out, have some candy, and just goof around.
Exactly. Yeah, you got to make it work. You got to be able to adapt.
Yeah, it kind of sucks. I myself, I'm not really huge into Halloween anymore now that I'm older. But it was something cool when I was younger. But yeah, usually around this time of year, I try to watch like scary movies. So what I've been doing this whole or past month now, now that we're in November, but I was watching the Nightmare on Elm Street, eighth Talim. I don't even know what the octagon or what's how many movies are out of it. I don't even remember, but there's quite a few, and there's quite a few that are pretty bad.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know if you're a Nightmare on Elm Street fan, but I kind of had it in higher regards, and now I don't know if I hold it up as high.
The thing is, though, you can't judge it by the current standards, because it came out in a time period with where that was the best they could do, and they also made it. They changed it. I don't know if since you've been watching it recently, you might have noticed that from the first few, the first I want to say three, to like the last five, it got less and less serious and more comedic.
Yeah, I did notice that there was a big tempo change where, like you said, it was more of like a serious horror movie. Well, not really serious, like Texas Chainsaw Massacre, but still it was on the serious side. Definitely more serious than maybe a Friday the 13th kind of stuff. But yeah, towards the middle, towards end, it just got really hokey, and it was just about making gags and jokes, and it wasn't so much about the scares anymore. So yeah, it did make a change, and that's, to be honest, the kind of shitty ones. Now, obviously, I do remember a lot of the gags, and it did make me laugh and brought up some nostalgia, but just grading the movie for it by itself, I didn't care for those as much as maybe the first couple ones.
Yeah, it's difficult now for like slasher movies to be really like scary and popular. You look at the kind of movies that are coming out now, the stuff that, you know, scares people is more about like ghosts and like paranormal activity and like Insidious. I don't know if you've seen these movies, Annabelle, stuff like that.
Yeah, I think I think you're right. It's like got more of a real feel to it.
Yeah, whereas slashers, I mean, you just don't see that being more relatable anymore. Like people don't get scared about that stuff anymore. You watch it and you'll laugh at it. You'll be like, if I was this person, I would have done this or that. At least that's the way I go through it. When I love horror movies, so I'm having a horror marathon this weekend. So.
Oh yeah, what are you watching?
Event Horizon. I'm gonna watch a bunch. I haven't even like made the full list, but so far, Event Horizon, House on Haunted Hill, Texas Chainsaw Massacre, Hellraiser 2. I want to say. I'm gonna watch Wreck 3. I don't know if you've ever seen the Wreck series.
No, it doesn't sound familiar.
It's a Spanish movie series, a horror movie series. That's actually very underrated, man. Very good. And the first two, I want to say, are going to blow your mind. Very wow. Good.
Is it better than Friday the 13th X?
Yeah, it's a lot better. And I love Friday the 13th, the whole series. I love them. But yeah, this is better.
Oh, yeah. No, and you know, kind of speaking of hokey, man, the Friday the 13th has that vibe as well. But for some reason, Friday the 13th, I can watch and I appreciate it for what it is. And I thought Nightmare on the Elm Street was, you know, Nightmare on Elm Street was the same, but rewatching them, it doesn't hold up the way I recall Friday the 13th. And now Friday the 13th, that's the, you know, the Octagon or whatever it was for Friday the 13th, because that also had a lot of them. That's the one I did last year. And so this year I did Nightmare on Elm Street. And after watching all the Friday the 13th last year, I held it. You know, I was just like, yeah, it is what it is. It's kind of dated, but it still felt all right. And where Nightmare on Elm Street just didn't feel that way.
I think part of that is Friday the 13th, if you compare that between Nightmare, Freddy has a personality. You know, he's a villain, but he's also a character with background, with beliefs, and, you know, with dialogue. Mainly, right. That's the main difference, is dialogue. Jason doesn't talk, so he just comes at you, wanting to kill you. So it's a little easier to get away with that. You know, you don't come off as hokey when you don't have a lot of dialogue that sounds hokey.
Right. Maybe that's what it was. Even though some of the backstory, is pretty cool for Freddy. I think where I started kind of losing it a little bit is that it just kept changing. The rules kept changing because they're like, we need a new sequel. We need to change the rules. Oh, I thought all the kids from Elm Street died. Well, let's make it that, you know, the people next door to Elm Street can get it too. And then, Freddy had a kid. So the unborn fetus inside the kid can or whatever. You know, it was like always some new loophole that they were creating that just didn't seem to fit in with, you know, the backstory of Freddy. So I was being too critical, but I just didn't care for him as much. But another movie that I did watch recently as well, Breaking Bad's sequel or whatever you would call it, movie, El Camino, I watched that one. And that one I definitely dug a lot more than the Nightmare on Elm Street movies. Did you get a chance to watch that, or are you even a Breaking Bad fan?
You know, I definitely am a Breaking Bad fan. And the movie El Camino, I heard about it months ago. Like, it came out a while back. But I just haven't gotten around to see it yet. But, like, don't feel afraid to share any spoilers or whatever. I'm completely cool with it. I'm going to watch it regardless.
Yeah, I'm not big about giving out spoilers because I kind of hate getting movies spoiled. Like this Star Wars movie, I'm interested in seeing it. And all I needed to do was watch the first trailer, and I don't watch anymore. Same thing with most movies that I'm kind of interested in. The Terminator one, I'm kind of curious about. I watch the first trailer, and then that's it. I don't need to watch anymore. So, you know, I'm not going to give you any spoilers, but it definitely had the vibe of Breaking Bad, and it made me want to rewatch the seasons. Just because it totally felt like an episode, just a little bigger because it was a movie.
So, question for you. Is this after the incidents, or like the whole story of Breaking Bad? Is this after that last episode?
It does follow the conclusion of the season. But there is quite a bit of flashbacks because, you know, spoilers for everybody that didn't watch Breaking Bad or didn't finish it. Walter White dies at the very end.
So it does confirm that then. He definitely did die.
Well, I don't want to say that without giving out the movie, because I think that is something that I was kind of curious. Like, are they going to, you know, show more details on this? So it definitely is something to tune into the movie for. Okay. But it does play after that sequence. So after that sequence where at the laundromat or underground from the laundromat, and then Walter White passes out, or you really don't know what happened. The movie continues from there, but there is a lot of flashbacks to give you backstory to Jesse when he was locked up by the, I forget what gang that is, or what the people that locked him up so that he could cook meth for them. It follows a lot of that. That's like the other big narrative point, is that it shows a lot of flashbacks of him being locked up and his interactions with that gang. And it does a little bit of a Pulp Fiction. It goes back and forth a little bit. Certain things trigger memories, and it just goes back and forth. But very well done. I really dug it, and it's definitely something, a must-watch for Breaking Bad fans. I definitely encourage people to go out there and check it out.
Does it make any connections to, like, or actually not make connections, but does it include Saul Goodman at all?
He is mentioned in there. There's a lot of returning characters. So people that you saw throughout the seasons of Breaking Bad, they make a little cameos. And like I mentioned, with the flashback aspect of it, you could really show anybody from the show, you know, all the way back to the brother-in-law cop. You could kind of show him if you wanted to, and or whatever, just because there's a lot of flashbacks. But yeah, to answer your question, they do show a lot of those characters that you're interested in, and it's definitely a fun watch. And I think it ends very well, because it kind of leaves you like, man, is this thing, you know, what's the total outcome going to be for this thing? And at the end, man, it had me laughing just because of the way some of it wraps up. And it was a very cool watch. It definitely was a feel-good kind of nostalgia, maybe a cash-in to some point, because I thought Breaking Bad ended well. It kind of had that Sopranos ending, but a lot better, where it kind of leaves you to decide what happened. But at the same time, it was very well done that I appreciated.
All right. Well, hey, I'm definitely going to watch it. I'm looking forward to seeing it.
Yeah, definitely go give it a watch. But Noel, I think it's about enough talk on us. Let's get to our article of the week. So Noel, this is one that you kind of brought up to us and wanting to kind of talk about this. And it's not that serious of an article, but something definitely to ponder and think about. It's the spooky backstory of trick-or-treating and some of the Halloween traditions. Now, when you first brought this up, I'm like, there's really not much to this. But from reading the article and doing a little bit of research, man, there's a lot of different theories as to where Halloween came from and how did it start.
Yeah, dude, I was pretty surprised to see it as well. You know, I heard a lot about, like, you know, it dating back to pagan times, and going through this article, it looks like the theory of the person that wrote this says it goes back to the old Celtic festival of Samhain.
Yeah, I noticed that too, that a lot of it seems, or at least these two, my research was YouTube and just watch other people tell me what they think. From watching them, most of them believe that it is like the Celtic, the Irish are the ones that started this whole tradition of All Hallows Eve.
So it also says that, yeah, like back in the day, it would be kind of to like mark the end of the harvest. So it was kind of like a fall festival that would happen, and it would kind of honor, you know, the living and the dead, and people would dress up sometimes as spirits and stuff like that. Sometimes you would even have like food or animal sacrifices, and there would be like tricks and stuff, and people would like start blaming the fairies, you know, because the Celtics and the Irish believed in fairies, so they would do these tricks and just kind of be mischievous and, you know, blame it on these fairies.
And that's what it sounded like to me. It was like people just being assholes and they wanted to blame it on something.
Yeah, and people would believe it. It's like, oh yeah, it probably was a fairy that stole my money, and it was really this fucking asshole.
Right, that's what I got from most of these. It was like, you know, people, and eventually to what got to trick or treating, it was like, hey, if you don't give me a treat, I'm gonna do a trick on you, and it ain't like a magic trick. It's like, you know, we're gonna jack up your house or you know, or mess up your car or something.
Yeah, it's definitely evolved to like some just really childish stuff, but I mean, it's funny that it goes back as far as that, you know, to medieval times. And it even talks about how it kind of mixed in with Christianity, because Christianity at this point had a tradition for All Souls Day, was called, and it happened right on November 2nd, and All Saints Day, which happened the day before, which was November 1st, and eventually led to All Hallows Eve, which is October 31st.
Right, and like you mentioned, it was the passing of candies and goods. That's what it eventually evolved to. And, you know, ever since I was a kid, that's what it's always been about, is about the candies and just going around and trying to get as much as you can.
Yeah, and before there was a candy, actually back in the day, it was called Soul Cake. And it was like a little pastry thing with the cross on the top. So it was pretty basic, but I guess like from that point, like, it just started evolving, you know. It became from a pastry to something more, you know, like a candy. And the companies, of course, they picked up on it. So, you know, around the 1930s, I want to say, is what this article says, it became very, very popularized. And in the 50s is when the candies became more popular. So they had, it looks like, M&M's, Tootsie Pops, Reese's Peanut Butter Cups from way back in the 50s.
Yeah, I even saw some stuff about the costume aspect of it, and that some people believe that it was a way for kids to dress up and be able to go to houses and ask for money and food and not be embarrassed that their family was, you know, kind of not, you know, well off. So that's a possibility as to why some kids were wearing costumes back in the day.
Yeah, no, definitely going through, you know, tough times in history, the Depression and all that. And yeah, I could see how that could be something, a theory at least. There's, of course, the theory that, you know, they dressed up to scare off demons and ghosts and goblins. So it's definitely been interesting to see its progression, you know, from the medieval times to now. Now it's become more of a novelty act. You know, it's not really something that's scary or that's, it didn't have that, you know, practical use where you go to, you know, ask for money and stuff like that. Now it's, you know, people want candy. People want, you know, to get scared, and they find ways to scare themselves using all these stuff.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's kind of like Valentine's Day. It's nowadays it's a more of a corporate holiday where it's about, making money and selling stuff and, you know, people spending money to get these trinkets and to get these things. So I think, you know, the corporate America has kind of pushed this holiday, this holiday, if you even want to call it that, Halloween, into a way to sell candy, sell costumes, sell all these decorations and just get people to go out there and spend money.
Yeah, no, I definitely agree on that. And, you know, out of all the holidays, and especially the ones that are marketed, you know, like Valentine's Day and things like that.
Right.
I have to say Halloween is my favorite.
No, yeah, yeah. Don't get me wrong. I'm not trying to shit on it. I think even Christmas has gotten to that point as well where a lot of it is just spending money and trying to get the better thing than everybody else. But I definitely enjoy Halloween as well. I think it's cool. I'm a horror fan just like you. I like watching horror movies. I like watching the decorations. For the most part, you know, participate in Dia de los Muertos. I try to put up pictures of my fallen friends and family that I want to remember. And, you know, that's a tradition in Mexico or in Latin communities that's also kind of tied in with Halloween. It's from October 31st to November 2nd, and you just put up a picture or some remembrance of your family or friend, and sometimes you leave them a treat, something that they like. If they liked menudo, sometimes you leave a plate of menudo out or whatever you want to kind of honor them and kind of, you know, with the thought that, you know, they're going to visit you, that you want to give them something that they're going to appreciate.
Oh, that's pretty cool, man. I didn't know you did that. That's pretty dope.
Yeah. I mean, we didn't do it this year, to be honest. It kind of slipped my mind and, you know, we've been kind of dealing with some other stuff here at the house that it was something that we didn't put it up this year, but typically the last few years, especially now that Junior's more aware of things and how our dog passed away a few years ago, Junior likes to put up the picture of the dog. You know, I put up a picture of my grandpa, my grandma, and just something that we keep there in the mantle for the few days. And every time you pass by, you think of them. You know, say a quick prayer and just leave them something that you know they would like in case they decide they want to come visit you and say hello.
That's pretty cool, man.
Yeah. But yeah, man, back to Halloween, man. I'm with you, man. It's one of my favorite holidays, right? Not as high as Christmas, but definitely up there as well.
Well, I think part of why I have this like curiosity towards horror movies and just natural curiosity to the supernatural is because of Halloween and like growing up celebrating it with the family and everything. I remember as a kid, you know, really being excited to create my costume. I wasn't just about, you know, going to buy whatever things out there. Although I did dress up as a Power Ranger one time. That was pretty dope. But
nice. Was it the green one or the white one or which one?
I was a red one, actually, because this was, I think, the before the green even came out.
Okay.
Yeah, I was pretty excited at that time, but I remember even making my own, and that was exciting because just sometimes it allowed me to be creative, and it would still be kind of creepy and scary at the same time, and nobody would know what the hell I was. So they would ask me, what are you? I'm like, I'm just a monster, man. You don't even know.
Now, I can't remember that far back, but you're younger than me, so maybe you remember. Do you recall when's the last time you went out trick-or-treating?
Ooh, that's a good question. I'd have to say, I know when I didn't, like, one of the earlier memories where I stopped going was I was already in middle school. So I want to say I was like...
Already a teenager then, right?
Yeah, like I want to say 12, 13.
Okay.
That's probably when I stopped.
I would assume I was around the same ballpark, but to be honest, I can't. I tried thinking about it earlier just to bring it up on the podcast, and I can't recall when was the last time, but I do definitely... most of my trick-or-treating memories are when we used to live in the city, and we moved out here into the suburbs when you were born. So it was before you were born, and those are the majority of my trick-or-treating memories, going out into the street. And back then it was kind of, or at least my experience with it, it was more of let's go out there and cause havoc, you know, kind of like how the holiday supposedly started. It was us getting, you know, eggs that stink and shaving cream and going out there and just causing havoc, man. It was, I don't know if it was just the bad kids that we were or what it was, but we were just going out there and just trying to mess with people and scare them and throw shaving cream and, you know, stuff like that.
Yeah, for me, it was, I don't know, maybe it's because my parents were strict with me. Like, I never did any of that, like, crazy, like, trick stuff. It's because I always had the treat, you know? So I guess I never had to worry about that.
Okay.
I always had a bag full of treats, you know? And I remember I went to my cousin Erica's neighborhood one time, and all my cousins that were around my age went with us. And she kind of, like, led us through her neighborhood. And her neighborhood was, like, where, I guess, the upper middle class live, you know, the people that make some pretty good checks.
Right.
And so, you know, she showed us through the neighborhood, and these people were stacking, like, just
full candy bars.
Oh, dude, it was a score. It was like a heist. I was like, yes. I was so excited, and my bag was, like, heavy. Like, I was, like, weightlifting at the end of this whole thing.
Man, no wonder diabetes is number one killer nowadays.
Like, Jesus. Yeah, I mean, thank God I don't have to worry about that, but yeah, you got a point with that.
Yeah, I know. I don't know if you're still a big candy junkie. I have diabetes, so I can't eat any candy or almost none at all. So it's not a huge part of my life, you know, Snickers and whatnot, but it still calls to me every now and then a good Snickers or a Reese's peanut butter cup.
I'm a Twix man, you know?
Oh, okay. Yeah, the Cookie Crunch, man.
Cookie Crunch caramel.
Yeah, Junior, he's a big candy junkie. He loves all that sour candies and all that.
Okay.
Laffy Taffys and whatnot. Whatever candy you got, he likes it and he wants some. So, yeah, like I mentioned earlier, I was kind of surprised he didn't want to go trick-or-treating, but it's always been something he's really enjoyed. And, you know, it holds a spot in my heart, too. You know, it's always something that I enjoyed for sure.
Well, you know, it's just more motivation for next year. You know, it's going to be on a Saturday, so we'll make it, you know, special for him.
Right, right. Yeah, no, it's something that hopefully we'll be able to celebrate and get him back into it, because I think being 10 is a little early to stop trick-or-treating.
Yeah, no, he's got another year or two in him for sure.
Yeah, I hope so. And I hope we got at least one or two more in us for this podcast, or hopefully many more, I would say. But that's it for today, man. We'd like to thank you all for listening. Remember to follow Freeform Network on Facebook and Twitter at Freeform Network. Send in some questions and suggestions. We love hearing them and reading them. And we'll probably have a reader mail soon as we get a few more. FFMquestions@gmail.com. But I think that's it for today, man. For Freeform Radio, my name is Daniel. Next to me today was...
Hey, this is Noel. You stay warm, stay good.
Hell yeah, stay warm because it's kind of cold out there, man. We'd like to thank you all for listening, and we will see you next time.
That was cool, Dad.